Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. Just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
What are you talking about?
I said I'm glad it's not anything to do with Jingle Bells.
No, we're doing Freedom today because George Michael's dead. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It happened on the internet like 3 hours ago. Well, I mean, his death didn't happen on the internet, but the internet found out.
The death of George Michael's 3 hours
it's
ago.
It's live on the internet.
Someone live streamed it.
Watch this on YouTube.
Facebook.
So they, I figured why not Freedom 90?
I'm just imagine you didn't play Faith or something like
that. No, Freedom 90 is way better song. It's got like Tyra Banks and stuff in the music video.
I knew George Michael died the moment I heard Jeff playing nothing but George Michael's for the last 4 hours.
And I love that Facebook instantly, I scrolled through Facebook
instantly knew.
No, yeah, 30 minutes after all the news broke that he died, it was just status after status, wham! George Michael's dead in 2016 or is something of that nature. He took a wham out of me with it, or wham, I'm dumbfounded by hearing that. His death whammed me in the face or something.
So George Michael's is the new Ron Simmons. Instead of damn, it's wham.
So everybody had their wham pun, and then Facebook lets you post statuses in meme form now.
So everything was wham.
So everything was my entire newsfeed was wham memes. I'm like, come on, y'all. It's too soon. We got Freedom 90.
And then wham, you're posting about it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so teared up about George Michael dying. No, I don't really care that much. I mean, it sucks. I'm sure he was good and all. I like a couple of his songs, but it wasn't I don't own George Michael records.
No, it ain't my favorite, but I mean, he did what he did for the music industry.
Yeah, Faith is a cool song. Freedom's cool. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go is cool.
Yeah, he has a few trendy songs. I'm not gonna
He's got that song about getting caught trying to blow a guy in the bathroom.
And then he did get caught.
Outside. He did get caught doing it, so he wrote it. So he made a song and music video about it.
That he didn't get caught.
It's called Outside or something. I'm about to see if I can find this shit. George, I think it's called The Outside or something like that. We'll just lay that in the damn Freedom 90 again.
So who do you think's gonna...
You know what? That kind of reminds me of that drum beat. Kind of reminds me of Sugar Hill Gang or something. Just take that intro Sugar Hill Gang drum loop for hip hip hop and hibbity from Good Times or not or yeah.
And you got
yeah,
George
yeah,
Michaels.
Chic drum beat slowed down. I don't know if he was that much of a master if he's just stealing Chic drum loops.
Are you sure he was stealing them or he could have possibly.
All right, so yeah, this song's about him getting caught blowing a guy in the bathroom in a park.
So does this have to do with a specific wrestler blowing someone getting caught? Because this is wrestling podcast, and now we're making it a fucking George
Michael. It's the lousy wrestling, the lousy George Michael podcast.
The Lord.
America's shittiest George Michael podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Derek.
And we're on the outside. This is kind of a cool song.
Yeah, this song's something you would hear in the jungle.
Did you watch your little stutter there? Kind of reminded me of JBL today when they had Ryan Felipe or whatever this guy's name is. Ryan Felipe. They had him on there, and he kept trying to say. New JBL kept trying to say new series shooter, and he kept going new series shooter.
See now you got me doing it.
Your new series shooter, but he kept just being like it was. As soon as he was like, hell, we got Ryan Felipe here with his new series Shooter.
Are you sure he wasn't just having a heart attack?
JBL, WW, and then the my other favorite.
I mean, look how he works himself up. Like, he's cutting a promo for everything he says.
My other favorite botch this week of speech botch was...
Morrow
calling Kurt Hawkins Chad Hawkins
Chad
again.
Hawkins. Chad. I wrote that down in my notes.
He called him like, Chad Hawkins like a week ago.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is like a consecutive like second or third week in a row he's called him Chad Hawkins.
So yeah, he's Chad Hawkins.
So they're just going to change his name to Chad Hawkins.
I started playing George Michael in the background again, then I instantly thought, like, I don't know the legality of just like playing George Michael the whole time I'm talking.
I mean, we could make it like our New Jack episode, just
again,
George Michael was playing the entire fucking podcast.
I guess as long as we talk over it, it's fair use, ain't it?
I guess so.
I mean, we're making a remix as we talk over it.
A remix with wrestling
news. Yeah, we're remixing George Michael now, everybody.
We're just scratching them in here and there.
Yeah, but yeah, so the speech flubs or JBL speech flubs are fun. They always end up on Botchamania, and they're like
they're so noticeable
on Survivor Series when SmackDown won the team matchup.
And the reason why we don't see The Undertaker no more.
And JBL started going, Raw wins! Raw wins! And he's the fucking commentator of SmackDown. Like, you would think he would understand. And then somebody goes, SmackDown wins. And then JBL's like, Raw wins is what people would want to say. But SmackDown... And then he just stopped.
He's like, I need to stop what I'm doing right now. I need to drink another one.
It's all on Botchamania. It's fun. So it's Christmas today. Did you have fun Christmas?
Yeah.
Browns won yesterday.
Cavs won
today with Kyrie with the game-winning shot again.
Too bad the Steelers won.
Shout out to Chris Clem's Cavs cast, since we're going to talk Cavs here.
Yeah.
Available on Lousy Weather Media Network. Cavs were really fun to watch today. Really good
game.
They were
exciting. I kind of got scared like I did in Game 7. Like, oh, fuck, it's down to the last shot. And then when Kyrie got the ball, I was like, Game 7 all over again. I was like, we're winning.
And then the Browns pulled up the... They won yesterday. They shocked the world. Like, Twitter blew up. Like, CBS even posted, like, a little,
that's New York headline news. Over New York Giants, it's Browns won.
Browns actually scored more points than another team.
Like, it finally happened, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, from what I've seen was, like, nothing but inside the stadium views and shit like that, because it was so important and I guess historic, because now they're not a footnote in NFL history, thank God. Shout out to the 2008 Lions.
Yeah, 2008 Lions. That was something I thought of. I was like, well, at least they're not, if they do go completely I almost said undefeated.
Dude,
if they do go completely defeated, at least they wouldn't be the first team to do it with a 16 game record.
Yeah, but still, do you remember the 2008 Lions?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, we're very close to being that same fucking team, and now look at them. Yeah, they do decent, but they got that quarterback finally.
The Lions, they tried to work a way to turn it around there for a while after that, though. They had a couple good years with Stafford and Sue.
Now.
And Calvin Johnson.
My whole little fantasy.
Uh-huh.
I hope they don't lose a game from here on out. And this is like the turning point with that win with you.
So it's...
But, RG3 is out, so that defeated my fucking fantasy right when
I was about to say.
He ain't coming back. It's a week.
Next week's game is just going to be...
Everyone with concussions get to play last game.
Yeah,
Losers all take the field.
It might be a phoned-in game, and that's fine, because you know what? We got the win this week, and it felt like the Super Bowl.
I would have been more happy if the Ravens won tonight and then we won next week against the Steelers, because that would have took the Steelers completely out of the playoffs.
Steelers clinched it.
But now the Ravens won, so it's pointless. If we win or lose, the Steelers already won the division, so it don't fucking matter. But we still got a dub.
A W. Speaking of W's, Back to wrestling.
Back to wrestling.
Because we are America's shittiest wrestling podcast.
Oh, I thought it was the George
Michaels
podcast.
You know, the America's shittiest George Michael. Actually, I do have some football / wrestling crossover news here.
With the XFL?
No. Did you see Dallas Cowboys' newest coach?
I did see
their newest
every day.
The newest, Rock. Oh, no. Sting. Yeah,
their newest
intimidation
coach.
Yeah, I did see Sting did something with the Cowboys.
I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan,
and I hear they were looking for an intimidation coach, and so shot in the dark. I know, but I applied for the job.
He retired last year.
Erica,
how
you doing?
He needs to. He needs something
machine.
To do.
And that's the fucked up thing. That's Sting's whole gimmick for the rest of his life is wearing face paint and a trench coat.
With a baseball bat.
With a baseball bat. Like, you'll never see Sting not like that ever again. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Courtney.
You will never see Sting just like a normal person. Anytime you see Sting, it will be Eric Draven Sting.
So, Sting... I want to see everybody's face paint. This is when he starts to bring out everybody in face paint. These first two dudes come out with glitter. Who are these people, Derek?
I thought that was nice. That was a good game.
You know who these people are?
You're loyal. But
they look like decent.
I told you about that. Okay.
Hey, Tribal, Mike Tyson.
I love it.
Tire treads, a car.
I can smell the stench of burnt
That's
rubber.
That's Barry Church.
Think.
That's sick.
That works. Dancing bear.
That's
intimidation right there. Zeke.
Zeke. You can't.
Yeah. That's the look. Are you hungry? You need to go eat, man. You need to go eat. Whit. what's going on?
Yeah, Jason Witten doesn't wear face paint.
No face paint?
So he steals some of it, puts it under his eyes. Says we good here, then leaves. My favorite part is here at the end, though.
Sting.
Whoa. Take the bread off of there.
True. Bro, you just told me no bread.
I don't have a game this week. You do.
And I saw that. I was like, that's awesome. I love when they incorporate...
wrestling.
Yeah, that's wrestling news. I got to play a terrible video on our podcast just because it's wrestling news.
Because Sting...
Sting's in it. That's what Sting's up to. He looked good in it.
He looked like he didn't have a broken neck.
Yeah, he looked like Sting. That's my news this week. No. You want to get into some rain clothing top stories of the week in the professional wrestling world?
Sounds good to me.
I didn't write anything down.
I seen that Zack Ryder was tweeted out 4 to 9 weeks with knee surgery.
Yeah, he is donezo.
We won't see you until...
So did you see what they're doing about that? They're just going to do a four-corner...
Yeah, I seen they're going to do a four-corner number one contender match. Mm-hmm. Or is it for the title?
It's
SmackDown?
For the title.
All right, that's
the
last...
Yeah, it's with Bray Wyatt and...
Oh, I didn't see... All right, I didn't see it say Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton in that match.
They're in it.
All right, cool.
And then so they're going to be so they're going to decide a new champion or retain the title.
See, they
week.
Were talking about that when I got up to go piss, and I didn't see the four teams, so I thought it was going to be like a mystery thing. I thought they would have a mystery one, so I was just assuming went back and rewound and actually.
So there is some weird stuff going on. So the big rain clothing news story of the week, right? Okay, so there has been reports out of like Dave Meltzer and WrestleZone and them, and they're reporting that Mick Foley asked for time off coming into Christmas because even though he's lost over 100 pounds, he's still having like incredible difficulty traveling continuously, plane, ride, car from town, making the towns. And he asked for time off going into Christmas because...
Can I stop you right there?
What's up?
Maybe going off of 20-foot fucking cell would would have helped you a little bit there, buddy.
So he asked for this coming into Christmas off.
Yeah, I seen he asked.
So that he could be off tomorrow, because if he wasn't off tomorrow, he'd have to fly out today.
Yeah.
Right.
And he didn't want to fly out on Christmas.
So he was supposed to not be there for Roblox, not be there for the Raw after, and he was on both. And the rumor is Stephanie McMahon is on vacation, so then they had to halt plans for Mick Foley asking for time off. And
because
she's getting time off.
It's her time, bitch.
When he literally needs surgery to physically walk.
And she's in perfect health.
Yeah, and she's
that stingy bitch.
And
talking about bullies
and
now.
If you know a little something about Mick Foley, you know that like Christmas is fucking everything to this guy.
Like his and world. Then,
so in his Christmas
24/7, dude.
His Christmas is
Christmas.
Now fucking ruined that he has to
work
fly.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, he has to fly out to make it to Raw tomorrow. So it'll be, we'll find out tomorrow.
It's
going to
be
on
a
Raw.
Pissed off Mick Foley.
He looked all right this week. I mean, the opening
his
segment.
His segment was
the
classic.
Opening segment, albeit long.
Yeah,
and
it was
a little
long,
drawn
it was
out.
Long, drawn out, but
they,
end,
yeah,
it, the end
funny.
Was worth of it.
So, and then we had.
Yeah, I didn't know he was. That's why he wanted time off, though, was for just for Christmas.
Yeah, so
I thought he wanted time off for like some surgery or something because
yeah, exactly.
You've seen him
that's,
lipping around and
that's
shit
what
like
it
that.
Was. He needs a surgery done to like his hip or leg.
Dude,
to,
you see him
because,
walk.
Yeah, he's having incredible trouble with planes and cars and getting from
once
town,
again,
making
cell
the
did
towns.
Not help.
No,
not your case.
A lot of stuff he did, just jumping off the ring apron to the ground didn't help.
Oh,
you know,
dude, the cell. Topped it all.
The cell topped it all. Yeah, I mean, that it, coming, he even says it, coming through the cell to the ring was even worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking off the top. Him going through the cell knocked out his teeth, fucking everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if Shane McMahon can fall from the top, you know, and not be completely injured, Mick Foley, for sure. He's way better stuntman than Shane.
I saw this other thing about how they're trying to take. What am I trying to say? They're trying to like get The Rock to do WrestleMania no matter what. like
he's the new
like,
Undertaker.
They're like, dude, like we need The Rock WrestleMania. In the ring, they're like, and they're proposing rocking Lesnar, rocking this person, rocking whoever they do not
the
care.
The Rock first,
and the Rock,
no one.
The Rock's
like, fuck this,
yeah, and the Rock's like, I'll show up. I don't mind doing appearances. I do all this, but like right now, he has these movie studios. After he got injured in the, I want to say the first or second Rock versus Cena match, they like. He has to sign certain fucking insurance policies when they hire him on that he's not going to go do something that's going to risk himself getting injured, as in professional wrestling. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So,
yeah, because they don't want to have their star of their movie because,
and it has,
as we all know, The Rock is a way better star than Hulk Hogan ever was. So
yeah.
He's getting real big major roles compared to
yeah, and it definitely
Hulk
has
Hogan's
to
cable
do
movies.
Has to do a lot with. WrestleMania's time of the year placement too, because you got to imagine if Ballers airs that fall, they're filming through spring to summer.
Yeah.
So as soon as that shit happens, and then you know, I mean, The Rock has a lot of stuff going on. He's filming and doing.
Oh yeah, he's,
then he can't
he's a
put himself
star.
In the ring, you know.
Yeah.
But so what do you think about if they could get The Rock in a match this year? Who would you want to see The Rock against?
Who would I want to see?
Yeah.
AJ Styles, for sure.
The Rock and AJ Styles, that's sick.
That'd
actually.
Be a sick-ass match.
If you can't do Rock and Shawn... I mean, my bad, Rock and Shawn
AJ.
Michaels. AJ and Shawn Michaels, AJ and The Rock would be the fucking match.
Dude, they would steal the show.
That would be killer. I would have never even thought of that, either.
Like, why not go there?
Mm.
Because I wouldn't want to see Jericho and The Rock.
Yeah. We've probably seen that 100 times.
Exactly. That's why who would
101
I would,
times.
Who would I would rather see
out
of the new guys? I wouldn't want to see Roman Reigns. That's family wrestling each other.
Yeah.
That could go easy,
they,
but
yeah,
what,
I was about
two
to say,
baby
they
faces.
Wouldn't do that anyway, yeah,
yeah,
for that reason.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Something would have to happen, like they'd have to bring in a storyline.
Seth
with
Rollins
the
and The Rock.
injured.
Finn, yeah, he's going to break The Rock's neck. Yeah, you can't
do that.
You
know what I'm
saying? Finn Balor and The Rock.
Actually, I would like to see Finn Balor, Seth Rollins.
Could you imagine The Rock taking a Styles clash, though? Like, The Rock taking
the Styles
clash.
How about The Rock comes back and wins the title?
But that was what he did in 2012.
And how many times do they let the Undertaker win at WrestleMania?
It was boring. It was predictable. He showed up at Royal Rumble and beat CM Punk for the title so that him and John Cena could wrestle for the title. Rock and John Cena could wrestle for the title. Like, it was predictable. It was dumb. And as soon as it happened, you knew John Cena was going to run. As soon as The Rock beat CM Punk for the belt,
you knew.
This is what happened. John Cena, the Royal Rumble was the final match, and John Cena won the Royal Rumble match. So then you knew, okay, well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're doing Rock versus Cena 2 with the title on the line this time.
And it did very well, I bet.
It was the only matches on those cards to watch either year. Those are two of the worst WrestleManias of all time.
See, I never watched wrestling. Then when The Rock came back and wrestled John Cena the second time, that's what, 2012 you
both
said?
Both The Rock, they wrestled in 2011 and 2012.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that.
I want to say 2011
last
and 2012.
Last WrestleMania I watched was 2009, and then I didn't watch another one until the one that just happened 32 this year.
Mm-hmm. So they, I thought me and you watched, we watched 31 at your house. Because that was
31,
the one.
Yeah. But that wasn't like
the Brock
I watched.
And Triple Threat.
Yeah, it wasn't like I watched it. Mm-hmm.
So there's other rumors going around. The other big rumor, which we saw come into fruition this week on Raw, was that Vince McMahon's not high on Sasha Banks, and he's not really high on her mic skills yet, and almost thinks that she bumps too hard. And it has become a humongous fan of Bayley's selling and is now pushed to run Bayley and Charlotte all the way through Mania.
Oh, I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. Easy.
And Sasha, even in my notes. Sasha falling to a mid-side role.
Well, someone has to wrestle the mid-card.
But it kind of also explains why we've seen Bailey, just Bailey bump fest. You know what I mean?
Vince is like, bump, bitch, bump.
Yeah, and not bump fest, but sell fest. Like, it's just, like, these Bailey matches since she's come to the main roster has been her getting beat up. And that's
the entire time.
That's had to have been, and we've complained. We've complained about it, you know what I mean? But if you really think about it, that probably was Vince McMahon just being like, I want to see her sell. I want to see her sell more. I want to see her sell more. Just go. I don't give a fuck if Derek and Sean don't give a fuck or think this match sucks or whatever. I just want to see her sell for 5 minutes and then get the win. And then boom, boom. You know what I mean? They do that week to week to see if she's good.
See if she's worth the push.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so,
that's understandable.
And it definitely is. And sometimes
that's probably his old school tradition of like how we... Because I've been noticing it even in old wrestling, there's certain shit.
And as a performer, like, people can say, like, oh, the WWE machine don't get behind me, blah, 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 blah. The WWE, they'll give you something to do, and if you do it fucking well, they're going to give you more to do. You know what I'm saying?
If you suck at it.
Exactly. If you go out there,
stay there,
if you go out there and don't take it seriously, or you don't get behind it 100%, or you don't. If you don't fucking, or you're not good,
dude, this is
they're
the
not
going to
get
it.
Behind you.
If you can take a shitty gimmick and make it a fucking success, you're gold for it. But if you can't take their shitty gimmick and make it successful, you better take your ass back to the fucking indies.
Like, a lot of people...
is how they think about it.
A lot of people complain about Eugene or whatever, but... If you think about it, Nick Dinsmore as a wrestler was a local Louisville wrestler. If they brought Nick Dinsmore to the roster and ran Nick Dinsmore, he could have been the next Chris Benoit. Maybe, maybe not. But you instantly slap Eugene on it, and he's a fucking star, and he's Eric Bischoff's nephew. And now he's got the Eugene character to live off of for the rest of it. He can hit indie shows.
Dude, look at James Ellsworth.
He can do, but... To Eugene,
James Ellsworth.
Talking about Eugene for Eugene's credit, he can go.
He could actually wrestle, though.
Yeah, and now he can go work easy matches on the indie circuit with everybody as Eugene for the rest of his life.
Oh, for sure.
Even though he was, dude,
James
he
Ellsworth
was the second coming of
anyone.
He was the second coming of Chris Benoit in 2001.
Yeah.
But after you get Eugene, it's just, it's kind of like,
that's all you're getting, Eugene.
Yeah, and he could have, like I said, he could have been brought up and been a star as Nick Dinsmore, but it could have failed too.
Yeah.
And he got Eugene, and it was a big push, and he's making money the rest of his life off of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he can't bitch.
No, nobody. I don't think he
does.
That's
why I don't think wrestlers
can
bitch
do.
About get them getting concussions and shit like that back in the fucking 90s.
Yeah, the concussion lawsuits.
In
the
80s. It's like, motherfucker, this shit is today that they're more stressed on it. Let's worry about today. Like, you signed up. You know what the fuck you're signing up for. It's like the army or anything else. Like, you know what the fuck you're doing. You're not going to go in there going, oh, I'm never going to get fucking hurt. Dude, I've watched fucking, what was it? Halloween Havoc 97 with one of the poopiest matches ever on the fucking card. And when I watched the very next Monday Night Raw, I loved what Jim Cornette said because it was Hogan and Piper, which wasn't the main event. He was like, these two
Is
motherfuckers
that when they
were
did the steel cage.
Steel cage. And he was like,
the rubber steel cage. It's like, is that the one you're talking about?
It was how.
Yeah, but the cage is so awful that it's all like shaky and like
it's real bulky and just weird. It looks like looks like an old like
they wanted to do like a steel bar cage. Yeah, exactly. But they made it like so. Like I remember this. It's like almost rubber that they can't climb up it because it's going like
They weren't.
Nobody listening. Nobody listening can see what I'm doing. But I'm like moving my arms back and forth, almost like I'm on an exercise bike.
But
the wall was just waving.
But
as they're trying to climb up.
But it went around the thing like the Hell in the Cell that happened 3 months prior, right? So the shit was hilarious because
I've heard Piper buries it on his podcast
a few times. Because
Cornette's
like 10 minutes in, these motherfuckers are fucking winded and they're talking about how they're the icon. And you're like, Jesus Christ, this motherfucker is right because I fucking fast forward after 10 minutes and I just finished to the fucking end. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah,
and the only,
it's really bad.
Dude, the only thing that was good about it was me fast forwarding to the end of seeing a fucking fan climb up the fucking cage, jump over, get fucking tackled by fake Sting, and then Hogan and Macho Man bring the dude in the ring and beat the shit out of
really?
Him.
Really? I don't remember that.
Oh, dude, it's fucking...
It's on the network with that?
We can watch it after
match
the podcast,
match of the week,
dude.
Yeah.
No, my match of the week was actually off that card, right, but where I was going to was Chris Jericho was wrestling some guy he used to wrestle from Japan, dude. This motherfucker backflips, dude.
Chris Jericho does or the other guy?
Chris Jericho does a backflip trying to hit a Hurricanrana on, dude. I should say, not a backflip, my bad. Hurricanrana, dude, he fucking straight backflip, face plant, scorpions. And you're like, Chris Jericho's dead. You know what I'm saying? And when he retires, he knew what the fuck he was signing up for doing that Hurricanrana.
You know
what I'm
saying? Chris
Jericho? Yeah. Like, so...
Chris Jericho did crazy things. There's legendary stories of...
Watching all of his old matches, even if they're
shitty. Have you ever heard
wrestlers?
The Jim Cornette story about him, about Jericho breaking his arm in Smoky Mountain?
No.
They had been building this feud for months and months, and finally the titles were going to switch hands to the Thrill Seekers, which was Jericho and Lance Storm. Jim Cornette's backstage, and then somebody came up to him and was like, don't worry, they're taking Jericho to the hospital right now. But he's hoping to be back before the match. And he's like, they're taking him fucking where? And they're like, he was practicing a moonsault in the ring and hurt his arm. Practicing a fucking what? Like, you're practicing a fucking moonsault?
He wanted those
like,
motherfuckers to be perfection.
He's like, when you're wrestling in front of like 60 people in a fucking high school gymnasium in fucking Knoxville, Tennessee, and you're practicing a goddamn fucking moonsault, like, and he said that then Jericho tells this story too. He's like, he goes to they've been on podcasts together and told the story together, and like Jericho gets to the doctor, and doctor's like, oh, your arm's gonna be in a full cast for 6 months, blah blah blah. And Jericho's no, well, is there any way you could fix it now so I could go wrestle right now? and they're just looking at him like, wrestle? Like, your arm's shattered in 30 places.
And
like,
you want to wrestle?
And so that
he's like, I'm getting a fucking title.
So, yeah, they did some, like, gimmicky shit where he didn't really work, and they ended up losing, and you know what I mean? And then he had to take time off with a broken arm. And then I think that's how they ended up getting released from Smoky Mountain, because
and that's how he went to
because
ECW.
He's like, yeah, he's like, I can't just have one thrill seeker. Like, all I have is they only seek half the thrills. That's Jim Cornette's famous line about that. So, there was something else I want to say. I was listening to Keeping It 99 podcast. Mm-hmm. They're another local podcast hosted by like some guys from the metal scene, the metal community, and whatnot. And they were talking about watching Kirk Cameron Christmas movies on YouTube, and the movie dealt with Kirk Cameron's obsessive need to jerk off to the internet, and then his wife was like, if you spent more time with me instead of pleasuring yourself, and then Kirk Cameron's like, you nagging woman, if you didn't drain the life out of me, I wouldn't have to spend so much time on the internet. And like, I was like, man, don't let anybody ever make fun of my YouTube search results ever again if they're watching Kirk Cameron Jesus masturbating videos or masturbating Jesus videos.
So you're trying to now justify your Nikki Bella fan.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ever fucking complain. I'm the guy watching titties, and I'm watching titties and fapping instead of watching videos about Kirk Cameron fapping to titties on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather fap than watch Kirk Cameron fap. You know what I'm saying? So you want to take a break, then we'll come back. We'll talk the hits and misses of Raw and SmackDown in this bitch.
Yeah, sounds good.
Lousy weather media. Ohio's known for lousy weather. My retro vendors keep me ever freshin'. She acquired pleasure from applied pressure. Want the fruits of my labor, this is nectar. I stay translucent, never showing no emotion. While I'm standing in the snow wearing rain clothing. Been taught I look like a product of J.K. Rowling. That would explain how I'm creating all this magic. Get hooked on his diction like a bad habit. When your words are acrobatic, creating straight havoc. Trying to go down in the books is a valid savage. And retire to a beach.
What you sleeping
on? A money hammock.
It's slip with a dollar sign.
It's rainclothing.com. Lousyweathermedia.com. .com.
Yes, I know what it is. And not Limp Bizkit's
version. I had no idea. I've never heard this shit before. You said the what version?
Limp Bizkit did.
Limp Bizkit version?
Yeah.
I gotta have that! Gotta have.
And that was your favorite Limp Bizkit song.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. Fight!
In 1997 or whatever, whenever $3 Bill y'all came out, I remember thinking that was pretty fucking sweet. But in 1997, I was also like 9.
And then 2 years later, you're like, they were raping people at Woodstock. Yo, yeah.
Nah. Woodstock 99 was all about ICP and The Offspring for me, and Rage. But yeah, Limp Bizkit, $3 Bill, y'all, still a cool record to check out.
Their only good album, I think.
Yeah, as soon as, like, I've tried to, like, turn on Significant Other to see if that was cool, too, and there's...
What?
That was the second record.
Fuck.
That's the one with Nookie and fucking Break Stuff and all the big hits they had.
All their big hits.
Yeah, the first record. Yeah, the first record's like Counterfeit and fucking Faith and Stop or whatever.
Their best song is Counterfeit.
Yeah, so when you put on that record, that's the record. It still has kind of that Deftones fucking.
What, their first album?
Yeah, their first record kind of still has that Deftones Korn sound, and then by the second record, it's that weird corporate new metal.
It's the predecessor to Kid Rock.
Yeah, kind of. Even though Kid Rock was already around. I got you, Derek. Go ahead, vamp about Raw for a second.
you want me to talk about what start kicks it off?
Sure.
The whole Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho deal going on.
Yeah, I like the way your voice is getting higher and higher. The whole little Kevin Owens and
Chris Jericho
thing, and put him in a little shark cage.
It's kind of exciting, you know what I'm saying?
Mick Foley was wearing weird clothes, and then he had a fanny pack.
Here they had you full thinking they were
made in Ohio.
So I sound like an elf on Christmas.
So. No, I mean, what I meant was like Raw. Like, what'd you think overall this week?
Better than I thought it was going to be. Honestly, I thought it was kind of going to be a poop. Or
I actually watched a lot of it with my parents last night. I showed up about the time Charlotte came into the ring, so I caught the end of it with my parents and then rewatched the beginning today. But
Oh, you want to go down the?
It was a little better than I thought. Let's talk about the opening segment real quick. So what'd you? This, like I said earlier, I thought it went a little long.
They had you fooled.
I thought they went a little long. What do you mean?
You kept saying Jericho Owens is done for the last couple of weeks after they broke up. You're like, no,
yeah, they're still going. They're going strong.
They're back to being best friends.
But do you think them teasing the breakup for so long kind of softened when they do finally do break up?
Unless it's huge like me and you think they're going to do it. If they do it like we want them to do it, then yes.
With some sort of screw over in a match?
Yeah. But if they take it a different route, yes, it'll not be worth it.
Mick Foley had a fanny pack. He locked Jericho in the cage, and it was really funny. They're in Columbus.
No, hold on. I want to back up.
Go ahead.
Because Jericho was dogging his ugly shirt.
Yeah,
and he was like the whole ugly thing, dude. Mm-hmm. That shit had me fucking dying.
And Mick Foley was like, "My ugly shirt. Why don't you drink it in, man?" That, and leaned his head back, and the crowd popped.
Dude, that was what was hilarious. Foley.
And Foley. Then he tried his damnedest to hit the cheap pop and fucked up.
Yeah, because I wanted.
He said Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is where they were the night before.
I give him credit. He has a screw loose.
So and they were in Columbus. The crowd fucking booed, which is so
fun.
They were
at the University of Ohio, dude.
And then both Jericho and...
trying to save them.
They both were like, even Pittsburgh would be a better place anyway. And they said it at the same time, both an ad-lib line.
Which was
really funny because then Kevin Owens is like, I didn't mean to talk all over you. You go ahead. And then when he said it, Kevin Owens is like, that's what I said too. See, we great minds think alike.
It was awesome.
And then when they lowered the shark cage and they're like, what about these bars?
Dude,
what about this floor? They're it says made in Ohio right here.
This shit's cheap crap.
I won't trust anything made in Ohio. It was really fun.
First thing went through my mind was they're really Jericho's trying to sell their action figure ring.
Jericho's too, yeah.
that was the first thing that popped through my
head. That's another news story we can touch on real quick. Rain clothing side, news story of the week. Mattel, apparently, they had released this crash cage at the end of the year last year, or not the end of the year, at the beginning of the year this year, and it has been doing very poorly. So they had asked WWE to incorporate in a match, so they did that Paul Ellering thing at NXT. And then I guess after they did that, sales boosted by like fucking 70%.
They're like, do it with a bigger star.
They're like, please, please for us, do it again going in the holiday season, especially, you know what I mean?
So, Mattel is running the angles for this.
Exactly, So WWE's like, okay, shoehorning fucking shark cages into their matches and shit and for Mattel's purpose. But
Mattel is like, thank you for the sales.
Yeah, but if they make money off that license, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If there's any, WWE ridiculously goes out of the way to please their licensees, and it's almost ridiculous. Ridiculous how much they go out of their way for licensees. But we can get on that a whole nother time.
Oh, for sure.
But so they, yeah, Mattel.
But that was my first
Mattel
thing.
Booked the shark cage. Exactly.
So,
that is definitely what happened. That's why it's in the match.
So I just hope at Royal Rumble this it, you know how they have their main event? I hope it says brought to you by Martel. Because they're giving you this match legitimately. Oh, yeah, it
will
like
be. This shit will be brought to you by Mattel. At least it'll be on the show somewhere. A commercial for the Crash Cage will be all over you.
But for sure, that was the first thing when I seen the cage lower down. I was instantly.
You know who's not a fan of Jericho right now?
Who?
My mom.
What?
Yeah, she said his tits are sagging too much. He needs to give it up.
It's got saggy and he's a hater.
She said, if your guy and your tits are saggy, stop wrestling. She said, you're just gross to watch at that
you're
point.
You're just gross to watch.
And I don't really notice it on
Jericho.
She has
a point. I mean,
it reminds me of like Ric Flair in 1997.
Yeah.
Like how bad Ric Flair.
They were starting to say.
Like by the. In the mid 2000s,
been wearing a push-up bra.
In the mid 2000s, it was fun to watch Ric Flair. You accept titties and all, you know what I mean. But in the late 90s, it was like, damn, I'm tired of seeing this guy's titties.
And now you're thinking this. Your mom's thinking the same thing
about Jericho.
Jericho,
yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
but so they locked Jericho in it, and what'd they do? Just like raise him above the fucking ring for
started,
the show?
No, fully started talking. And
oh, that's
like,
when he was like looking for the key to let him out.
He was
in
like,
his fanny
hold
pack.
On, like, and yeah, started throwing random shit out and was like, oh, I don't have the.
How much? That fanny
key.
Pack. That fanny pack was literally like a fucking clown's arm sleeve.
That's his whole thing because he's a clown.
He was pulling.
That's why.
He was pulling so much shit out of that.
I took
fanny
it
pack.
As part of his little. Side to his clown fetish that he has, like,
I was
since
laughing.
He likes being a clown. Oh yeah, so was I. It was a good little segment, even though it was a little long. But then fully then turned around and started cutting the promo on the mic. Was like, you're safe, Jericho. You're not going to go anywhere unless I give this motion. And while he's telling Jericho the cage isn't going to take lift off to the Royal Rumble, he's pointing up, giving the sign. And then
the cage starts going up.
And Jericho's like, what are you doing, Foley? And that's when he started fucking with Kevin Owens, like putting his hands down, like, you want to leap up and try to catch him? Like, go for it. And then that's when it ended to commercial and shit like that. Came back. And then Jericho was out of the cage wearing a fucking oxygen mask. And shit like that. It had me dying. And he said
I think they cut that off Hulu.
He said he had arachnophobia. And they were like, that's afraid of spiders.
I don't remember them going to this at all.
Yeah, this was at the end. This shit was hilarious that they came back. He was down from the cage in the back with Kevin Owens. He's breathing all heavy in a fucking oxygen mask. The whole segment was funny as shit. And then after that was a Big Cass versus Rusev. I don't know if they.
Yeah, this was no. This was the first thing I saw, which was like I don't know. I felt like this was a punk down fest of Rusev.
First thing I noticed was like Enzo injured and shit like that because how he's been walking lately. Like he's been walking all like limpy. But then I've been thinking like the storyline with
dragging
Rusev.
So I get it now.
Like
it's funny. My parents have the exact lamp that they broke over. It's not here. I was looking over that way, but I was just talking about it
On TV.
They have the exact lamp that Rusev broke over Enzo's back in the hotel room.
Did
or
you
whatever.
Say? Did you get that from WWE?
No. I was sitting there in the living room, like, oh, did you see the segment a couple weeks ago with Enzo in the hotel room? My dad goes, yeah, they broke that lamp over his back, and I turned around going, oh my god, they did. It's like sharper image shit or Amazon
awesome.
Prime or something. I'm not sure.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I thought they made Rusev look like a bitch in this fucking scene.
Yeah,
it was kind of dumb.
It was pretty much a squash, like pretty much not.
Yeah.
Rusev wins by disqualification. Just
so,
come and beat him.
Yeah, where'd we go from there?
After that, we could go about a possible Sasha Nia Jax.
Okay,
angle.
Yeah, this is when Sasha came out and she flubbed her fucking speech a couple times and everything she was trying to say. I thought,
and
I was like,
now
man,
you
she's...
wonder why Vince McMahon is like, bitch, down to the mid card.
I love Sasha.
Take
though.
Your ass to lousy weather.
The crowd was behind her though. And then Nia Jax, they did it, this was basically just a thing to get Nia Jax over, and they're pushing Sasha down. Push Sasha to Nia Jax level, yeah.
To get your ass beat by a big woman.
If you're, because they need something for Sasha to do to keep her on TV or people will be upset. And you put her with Nia Jax to try to get Nia Jax better because Nia Jax is who you want to put money on later on.
Oh, for sure. Because she's your next
Awesome
Kong.
Yeah, you could draw money on it. Nia Jax and Bayley and many of those. You could
Nia Jax, anyone.
So, Nia Jax, her intro thing is weird too. It freaks me out every time. So they go to like her music or whatever video, and then when the camera pans back, it's just a close up on her fucking like eyes and shit, and they zoom back. I don't know. It's weird.
You don't like the creepy thing?
Yeah, I don't know about all that, dude. I think it's weird.
That was pretty much the gist.
What episode is it today? 23?
23.
Okay. So, she really beat up Sasha, though.
Yeah, fucked her up.
Give her a little whipping. Where did we go from here?
Did you have Cesaro, Sheamus, and Foley was backstage.
Okay.
Gave them the new Raw titles.
Yeah, I saw those, the red straps, yeah. They look better without the, like, copper fronts and stuff,
and
too.
And then, a ref came in, took Fully away fronts. Because Braun was backstage fucking shit up.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, I saw
he
this.
Said Sami Zayn.
And he's like, Sami Zayn's not even here.
Yeah,
so that was, I don't know, it was a segment.
Pushing the whole Sami Braun to keep it, that shit going, because you know they're going to continue it, at least in the Rumble, or maybe possibly further. Then after that, did you have the Cedric Alexander?
No. No cruiserweight. Cruiserweights are not on Hulu. Not at all.
And once again, why it's a detriment.
Mm-hmm. And you can watch 205 Live on Hulu. But
you get what I'm saying? It's a detriment on Raw if they're not putting on Hulu.
They're not putting on Hulu. There's no storylines to Raw stuff.
Well, they actually are pushing the
Even if they are doing storylines, it's hard to follow along.
That's why
because,
I was bringing it up. They're actually pushing the storyline, which is crazy. So I don't know if you've been noticing on 205 and all that, Alicia Fox and Cedric Alexander are together now and shit like that.
No.
Well, she finally came out with them in this match, and Noam Dar has made like passes at her a couple times. Well, they're finally pushing an angle where Noam Dar, he loses to Cedric Alexander, and he gets the mic, and he tells Cedric, he's like, well, I guess we're even now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, but you have something I want. And he was like, Foxy baby, talking about Alicia Fox. So they're pushing like,
why?
Noam Dar.
Is it
Alicia
sad?
Fox.
Is it sad that the only thing I'm happy about this angle is that they're giving Alicia Fox something to do? Like, the bitch has been there 10 years. She needs something to do.
Like, yeah, she's been sleeping for what, the last 8?
She wrestles like they just put her in job matches. Yeah, she's just. They had her with the Bellas there for a little bit, like a year or two ago. And
yeah, but that's kind of angle they're pushing with the Cruiserweights actually on Raw. So I was surprised by them actually. That's why I was bringing it up.
That's cool. Cedric Alexander is good.
After that, you had the New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus tag team versus the Shining Stars and Andersons and Gallows.
I didn't see this either. This was not on Hulu. Was it worth watching? Am I glad I didn't see it?
Kinda. It was good for what it was. The only thing.
Because Raw wasn't bad watching it on Hulu.
The only thing I wrote down that was worth writing down was said Kofi said Ric Flair was 16-time champions, and he couldn't have done that without losing 15 times because they were going on about the whole rant about how they lost the titles. And Big E straight up came out and was like, Charlotte will have that beat in a month.
The 16th time winning it so much?
Yeah, because she's already like 4 or 5 time woman
champion.
See,
this is why I forgot about that, because it wasn't on Hulu. That was a news story, and I was waiting to see it on Raw, and I missed it. This is probably why it was cut out on Hulu. Apparently, he ad-libbed that line, and he caught a lot of flack backstage for saying it.
Dude, that shit was hilarious.
By dogging the women for their hot potato of the title. And, like, so I guess he got a lot of heat for it. They cut it off the YouTube play it, and they cut it off Hulu. And so they're not social media in that fucking promo, nothing.
Ah, well, I watch it live on Monday nights.
So you
nights.
Saw it. So, yeah, that was a news story I meant to bring up, but I completely forgot. Yeah.
See? And I take notes.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Because that shit had me dying laughing, because I thought the same thing.
Because the rumor is, we'll get to it on SmackDown, the rumor is the same thing happened with The Miz this week, but they left all that stuff still on Hulu. That's on YouTube. That's on their Facebook. So I think that line was fed to him, but we'll get there.
All right.
So anyway, let's move on.
Then we went back to backstage. back to Big Cass and
okay,
and
this
Enzo.
Was
Did
my favorite
that?
Thing when he gets the notice that he has train or he has what
special sensitivity training.
And the reason he was because he exposed himself
on Raw 2 weeks
ago. Oh man, I laughed so fucking hard when I heard that because I was like, man, I talked about his dick for now. It paid off that I talked about his dick for 20 minutes. I swear WWE is listening to this fucking podcast because they have started responding to harsh shit. Like, no joke. We will talk about shit on this podcast.
No one else will.
And within a couple weeks, fucking WWE is responding to our shit. They are.
They know what we want.
They're fucking listening because we're on one of the highest platform distributors in the world, Audio Boom. And when you search Audio Boom Wrestling, like, of course, the fucking Eric
millions
Bishop.
And millions
of Lousy Wrestling Podcast subscribers. No, when you'll see like the fucking Eric Bischoff and those and shit. But we're still only like 20 podcasts down. Like, I mean, there's only so many wrestling podcasts with active listeners going around through the one distributor. And so Bischoff and MLW and Bruce Pritchard and Ric Flair and all their shows, Jim Cornette, all them are through the same distributor.
Yeah.
So fucking.
And now they are listening to us going, these guys are
so,
killing
yeah,
it.
When WWE's going through their shows, I bet you they're like, oh, what's this lousy wrestling show on fucking Audio Boom that's giving hits and misses. I see you, WWE.
Yeah.
Interns that are paid to fucking just listen to wrestling podcasts. I see you.
Shout outs to the interns.
Because, yeah, they're probably giving full reports. Like, okay, Lousy Wrestling Podcast bitched about Enzo's dick. So let's send him to sensitivity training for exposing his dick.
And let's keep this
you know what
let's
I mean?
Keep it going.
I'm not even like I am lightweight, not even joking about that I honestly think somebody from WWE is listening to this fucking show because they have been responding to our shit via storylines lately. Like, there's things we talk about and they fucking they're counteracting
they're,
it and responding
they're
it
answer, giving our answer,
so
answers.
Anyway, yeah, so he's got to go to sensitivity training for having that fucking raging hard on live television a couple weeks ago.
And they also were kind of teasing before all that Enzo might want to break up with Kaz because he's been causing Kaz losses lately because of him losing the last few
times. So you mean Kaz would want to break up with Enzo because of it?
No, Enzo kept telling Big Kaz, like,
oh,
like,
man,
oh,
I
yeah.
feel bad for fucking up your life.
Yeah, so, okay. like, I... He's like, should I leave?
I guess I just didn't
up.
Catch that.
Yeah, that's how
I just
how
heard
it all
the sensitivity
started.
Training shit,
and then
and
he
started
gets,
laughing.
And then he gets the letter, and that's where you're like, oh shit. And Big Cass pretty much was like, no, Rusev deserved it, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Go on, like, friends have my friends back, like,
yeah.
And Enzo's like freaking out, like, oh, I, you've lost like four or five times now, like, we need to break up.
Yeah, the sensitivity letter cracked me up.
So I think they kind of were like teasing possible breakup down in the future. Obviously, if they're already teasing it now, like. Don't even give them a chance in the tag team division.
So where'd we go from there?
From there, we went to Neville. He comes out. I think he was going to have a match, but
okay,
then
I
he starts
see
cutting
this.
A
I don't
promo.
So. This is why I was in and
but,
out of
but,
sleep here.
But the crowd is cheering him and shit like that. And he tells the crowd pretty much, like, I don't want your guys' pity and shit like that. And everyone likes Neville, so they're like, Neville badass? Even better, cheer.
Yeah,
like,
they were like everybody was yelling, thank you, Neville, when he came out, beat everyone's ass.
Yeah,
you know
like,
I mean?
And he was like, you guys haven't cheered for me and all this. And then Rich Swann comes out.
Yeah.
And then right after Rich Swann comes out, Brian Kendrick comes out. The moment he comes out, he just starts praising Neville, how they're the same, and et cetera, et cetera. And after that, Neville pretty much destroys everyone. One in the ring because you have he fucks up Swan and then I think TJ Perkin comes out, he fucks him up and then he gets out of the ring and then Brian Kendrick comes out and then comes down the ring. He's already out, my bad. Then he comes down the ring and hits Sliced Bread number 2, I think he calls it, on TJ Perkins.
Yeah.
After Neville was done destroyed everyone a fucking game. Like,
what's the difference between Sliced Bread number 2 and the original Sliced Bread?
I have no fucking clue.
I know Eva Marie does the original Sliced Bread now. So
what's
that
difference between Kalisto's move and the Sliced Bread? It's the same thing,
but yeah,
thing,
that,
right?
That might be why he's doing a different variation, because Eva Marie does Sliced Bread now. But anyway, Because he can't just, like, he can't come back in a company and steal somebody's finisher, even though it's his finisher.
Yes, but Neville and Kendrick pretty much teamed up on everyone, you know, and then that's when Perkins came out. But it was them just trying
to push. I don't remember any of this. I was in and out of sleep. I may have slept through it. If it was on Hulu, I slept through it.
They're definitely trying to set up a Swan.
I heard sensitivity training, and I just laughed myself to sleep. And I kind of like woke up when Charlotte was back in the ring.
Yeah, they're trying to push the whole Rick Swan and Neville.
Rick Swan is very, like, he's really starting to heat up. See, I will give him that.
See, I think they're going to do it like the whole Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens deal, because they're supposedly best friends and shit like that. So they're doing the whole best friend person.
Kendrick and Neville, or?
Neville, Swan.
Neville and Swan.
Yeah, they're doing the whole Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens gimmick.
Oh yeah,
for the
match, gotcha.
The whole break, okay. I guarantee you, is what I'm saying. Like, that's how I see it. I see it doing the whole Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, the whole match you've already seen between those guys with Rich Swann and Neville. Yeah.
All right, so let's keep moving along.
Sensitivity,
what do we got?
Training segment.
Yeah, this was it was dumb,
stupid. You had
my dad just kept going. I watched this with my parents. My dad just kept going, "Is that Layla? Is that Layla? Is that the guy? Is that the girl that was with the English teacher?" I'm like, "No, Dad, that's not Layla." I'm like, "Layla was like black and Puerto Rican and British or whatever the fuck." Like, I'm like, "That's not Layla." But anyway, so that was my remembrance of the segment. Then they put Enzo through a table and they were out. Rusev showed up and beat him up.
That's the different part of the segment.
They beat his ass.
They had like two separate segments.
Oh well, let's move on. So who gives a fuck? They tried to do the cool, like, what made fucking Daniel Bryan and Kane over was when they did the anger management training with them too.
Yeah, so they're trying to do the same thing.
Exactly, and it was fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on.
After that, you had a miss. Yeah, a hardcore miss.
Ever call out hits and miss, but it was kind of a miss.
Yeah, that was a...
Except for the fact that he had to be there for exposing himself.
Yeah. Like, how it played out with, like, Jinder Mahal and them tag-teaming.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, because that was broken up in two parts.
Okay, so I remember the end part.
Yeah, because the beginning part, you pretty much just seen who was on the room, and he...
Yeah, it was Bob Backlund and Darren Young. And
the only thing I did like about that at the end was everyone got a participation award.
Did they? That's awesome.
So, participation awards are, like, being given out on a daily basis in the WWE these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to be a champion anymore.
Dean Ambrose got one a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you don't have to be a champion anymore. As long as you participate, you get awards these days.
So where do we go from here?
From there, they're doing the whole...
That's when Charlotte came out
here they're doing the whole Braun Strowman angle right after the whole...
I think I was asleep for all this shit.
It was supposed to be Sin Cara
versus Titus O'Neil.
I didn't
think I slept
Titus
that
O'Neil.
Long, but I slept a while,
they
I guess.
They must have cut it all on Hulu, though,
I might have slept.
But, it was just Sin Cara versus Titus O'Neil. Moment they get in the ring, Braun Strowman comes out, destroys everyone in the ring. The only thing I do like about him now, he doesn't do the shitty-ass reverse choke slam.
No, yeah, he stopped doing it.
He's doing the Davey Boy Smith running power slam now, which is more devastating for a guy his size. Like, it's more believable. And guy don't look like a retard. Choke slam from the neck to the face, like,
Having to like kind of like fall and like,
don't look right.
Looks like somebody like fall.
He might as well just give a regular choke slam. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was pretty much that. He destroys throws Sin Cara off the fucking top of the stage. Destroys the Christmas set on fucking stage.
Yeah, I didn't see any of this. I was asleep. Yeah. I was snooze fest. This shows you how good Raw was. I slept through the middle, apparently.
Sin Cara took a huge bump, but it was on Christmas presents, shit like that, so it was probably styrofoam and empty boxes, so nothing dangerous.
So where we go from there?
There we went back to Jericho and Owens backstage.
Okay. What were they doing?
Jericho was still
asleep.
It was probably cut out.
I was asleep.
Jericho
dude.
Was just still...
This whole middle, this past five things we talked about couldn't all be cut out. I slept through this shit. I was asleep. I thought I only slept 5 minutes. I obviously slept for 45 minutes.
Well, after this was, Jericho was just kept going on about how he was upset about earlier and how he was embarrassed and all that shit. Then after that is when Charlotte comes down to the ring.
Okay, now here, now I'm back.
Now you wake up. You're like, Charlotte, boom.
I woke back up. I'm awake.
Yeah, I was just getting through every segment, so I touched on a little bit.
Charlotte, I don't even remember how Bailey came out. Charlotte was just talking about how she's...
Charlotte pretty much comes out and how she pretty much beat the boss out of Sasha Banks, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It kept going on. How about she's the queen? That's when Bailey just comes out.
Okay.
And she thinks it's pretty much time for a Bailey versus Charlotte
match
rivalry to begin because the Sasha and Charlotte rivalry was ended at Roadblock.
Bailey's promo here wasn't bad either. She was pretty comfortable on the mic and the crowd was like, behind her.
And she was like, on my scorecard, it's 2-0 because she's already beat Charlotte twice already.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much it's set up for the next match because she challenged Charlotte.
Yeah, they were just basically like, okay, we're good. Did Mick come out or anything? This was
commercial.
I'm trying to remember how they were like, we're going to have a match next. Like, they were like, okay, we're going to have a match next. And then so when they came back for commercial, they were having a match.
No, they pretty much said...
Let's have a match, and Charlotte was like, sure.
They were like, we might have a match coming up next, and then when they came back from commercial, they were like, Mick Foley made the match official, so it's going to be... Which, once they both were in their wrestling attire, when Charlotte came down in full wrestling attire, I was like, she's about to wrestle. When she comes out and celebrates, and she's not...
And she'll be wearing pants and a
shirt.
She'll
be dressed like a civilian.
So, and I thought they had a pretty good match, too.
It was definitely the best match of the night.
Match of the night, definitely,
for
yeah.
Raw... They killed it.
They probably went about 17, 18 minutes, maybe even 20.
One thing I did not like was her little Bailey around the world fucking thing where she just rolls around the person on their back. Horrible.
Yeah.
Don't have
I know
to
what
do
you're
that.
Talking about.
Don't have to do that ever again. Stop. Writers, interns, tell her.
Agents.
Stop.
Yeah, the writers.
Get to her fucking
whoever
agent.
From WWE
whoever
is
booking
to
this
podcast.
Shitty ass match with this spot. Like, stop it.
Becky Lynch does the same thing too when she rolls the rolls.
Stupid.
This was definitely a good matchup.
It was just horrible looking. Like
I don't remember how the finish came about though. Now that I'm thinking of it, I know Charlotte won.
The only thing, Bailey won.
Bailey won.
Yeah, she's 3-0.
I know Bailey won.
Charlotte. The only thing that went through my head is. I don't think they're going to have the caliber of matches that Sasha and Charlotte had because they've already
done. Or Sasha and Bayley have had.
Just because they just had a Hell in a Cell match. I'm just thinking about the match lined up.
Yeah,
think about it.
Literally.
Hell in a Cell match.
You're
and
right.
And then fucking that. Then
Iron Man.
Anywhere Falls
Last
on
Man
Raw
standing
match.
For, yeah, Falls
You know
Count
what I'm
anywhere.
Saying? I'm going just from the last like month recently. You've had boom, boom, boom. Like
yeah, you gotta dial it back because you can't keep topping it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to top that whole Sasha Charlotte. I kind of feel bad for Bailey now
crowd's desensitized.
Yeah, because you've already done.
There's no stipulation you can add.
Yeah, you've already done everything, Sasha Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, until they have a barbed wire fucking.
What the
match
fuck are you going to have next? A fucking casket match.
And, yeah.
A fucking casket match, buried alive match.
No,
you know
gotta
what I'm
saying? You got to do stuff more extreme than Hell in a Cell and Falls Count Anywhere. You got to go barbed wire and thumbtacks. Death match.
Death match.
Yeah.
Ropes breaking on wrestlers matches.
Instant
falls.
Then we had the main event of whatchamacallit. We've already talked about Enzo going through.
Yeah,
because
that's when
there.
It went back to the sensitivity
and
training.
And basically, Jinder Mahal and Rusev beat him up and put him through a table. So they're just moving.
That's all I wrote down was.
It's just dumb.
They beat the shit out of Rusev. Out of Rusev.
I think Lana came onto the screen for a minute.
Yeah, she came
and
on. And I was
like slapped
looking
him
good
or something.
Like always.
Yeah. So then
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus Jericho and
Kevin
Owens.
It was basic match. It was boom, 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 drive by, boom, boom.
One thing I did note, it was the first time I've actually listened. Let's go, Roman. Outweighed the Roman sucks chance.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, I was very shocked.
There was some good. Let's go, Roman! Chance at the paper at the Roadblock pay per view.
Also,
too,
I noted was Seth Rollins' neckbreaker DDT combo that he did. Perfect.
You like it?
Oh yeah, that was perfect.
The only thing I can think about this match was like my mom just talking about Jericho's titties the whole match.
And then
it was a Jericho titty match.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns pretty much wins because of interference because Braun Strowman comes out and attacks Roman from behind, and Jericho Owens leaves the ring and gets out, and Strowman attacks Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Strowman came down and fucked everybody up.
And then Owens and Jericho rolls Rollins in. I mean, Reigns back in, fucks him up some more. And pretty much it was Braun Strowman fucking up people at the end of the show. Because
yeah, that's how they went off air, was Braun Strowman. So Braun Strowman's getting a little shine. They're putting the spotlight on him.
He's their new indestructible, can't be beat monster.
He's going through and beating everybody up, and then he'll get beat, and nobody will pay attention to him. That's the prediction.
And the guy to beat him, a cruiserweight.
Yeah. So what'd you think of SmackDown this week?
I loved how the opening started, but hated how it was built so much that it was going to be this highly anticipated match, and it was just instant squash.
Oh, the AJ match?
Yeah, because that's how it opened up. Like,
yeah, straight. We opened with AJ versus James Ellsworth for the heavyweight title.
And all I wrote down was, wow, how much they anticipated it and hyped
but
it
we
up.
Still
it
got, was a quick we still squash, got a 10-minute segment out of it, though.
Oh, for sure.
So AJ...
Everyone and their motherfucking brother and sister coming down to the ring.
AJ and fucking James Ellsworth, they're about to tie up or something, and AJ looks like he gets fucking pissed, frustrated, and just does his fucking... He does his AJ fucking punch combo with the spinning back fist.
Knocks him out.
Yeah. That fucking... Even the crowd was just like, oh, and he fucking hit him, and he went down, and AJ fucking pinned him, and that was it.
Dude can't take a Styles Clash. So.
Then the best part of this fucking
shit...
When he tossed him on the table...
He landed all awkwardly.
Oh, my God. He tried to grab him. I think James Ellsworth fucking, like, sandbagged him instead of, like, giving momentum. I mean, I don't know how much momentum you're going to give when you're laying on your back being dragged. But, like...
He's 85 pounds, so he's definitely sandbagged.
So AJ fucking, like, tried to get him up and, like, throw him on top of the table the goal.
He hits the angle of the table.
He dropped him on his spine on the corner of the fucking table. Like, just square middle of the spine on the corner of the table.
Dude, I wrote down, ouch.
Yeah, I
painful.
Rewound it and watched it
10
again.
10 times. I'm not joking. I had to watch it so many times.
I was like, holy shit.
Dude, and you know what the best part about that shit was? Instantly, the crowd was like, yes, yes,
yeah, they
yes,
did. They have turned on Ellsworth, this crowd. So
Styles beat the shit
and
out
then
of
he,
Ellsworth.
So then he hit him with the fucking... Did he hit him with suplex into the fucking wall
No, this is still before he started beating the shit out of Ellsworth on the outside even more. And he hits him with the slingshot on the frame of the ring. And that's when the crowd just started going, we won tables.
Yeah.
Completely destroy Ellsworth.
And then the suplex into the wall, I think, was the scariest.
Styles leaves, leaves. Then that's when he comes back down and he's like, fuck this. I'm beating the shit out of this dude. That's when he goes to the suplex into the barricade.
He does it so short. Yeah, the barricade.
It was so quick, snapping short.
Ellsworth's so low that Ellsworth literally hit the top of his head on the ground at the same time he's hitting his back.
It was beautifully done. He
has a broken neck. He has a broken spine.
Vince McMahon was like, kid, we got to get him out of here.
Yeah,
and now, and fucking Styles is like, I can put him in the hospital for real.
crowd's been chanting, sign this guy for months. They sign the guy, and then they fucking are like, oh, yeah, we got him signed now. Now let's make you guys fucking hate him, and they did it.
And then
now the crowd wants nothing to do with Ellsworth.
After he gets the shit beat out of him, and that's when Styles gets in the ring, cuts a promo like how he's had to deal with this retard for the last few months. And
nobody's had a better year than him.
Yeah,
and
he's finally had to get his frustration out, and he's happy to fucking put him to the hospital.
That he's WWE champion.
Yeah. And that's when Dolph Ziggler comes out.
Okay.
And pretty much
because
it's AJ versus Ziggler, and
He won the number one contendership last week.
So they're pushing
for
that kind of...
But it's like, man, fucking... He keeps getting opportunities and losing Ziggler.
Right,
so let's just move him up to the championship. I know AJ calls him out for the same thing.
And then that's when Baron Corbin comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell Ziggler that he doesn't deserve it because he gets opportunity, like you're saying.
I liked this. I liked Corbin coming out. Corbin is getting a chance, and he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
And he ends up hitting his move, what is it called? The end of days.
Ends up hitting Ziggler.
A brutal looking end of days, too.
That's why I said
Ziggler bumps it. So
he picks him up high as hell with that hard. Shit.
And then it was funny because the crowd
gets
behind him, and it was... Like, it was almost like Corbin, like, almost, like, didn't know how to react and was about to grab him and do it one more time. And then, like, he was like, and then they started playing his music, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a heel. I'm not supposed to do what the crowd wants. And, I feel like the music guy
fucked him up.
Well, cut him off, like, motherfucker, you better not do it another time. Get the fuck out of the ring. Corbin music. You know what I mean? Like,
Vince was like, he's going to do it. Hit the music.
Don't let him babyface. Hit the fucking music. Corbin's a fucking heel.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job. Baron Corbin, but
he's a good heel.
He's been good heels. He's only been in the business 3 or 4 fucking years.
I'm not saying he's championship material.
He's a WWE trained product, never been on the indies, is a former NFL football player, and you know what? They're putting fucking time on him and he's stepping up and taking advantage of it, and he's been pretty fucking and he's been pretty fun to watch. His matches with Kalisto were fun to watch. His matches with Ziggler were fun to watch, even though it went too long. They had 7 of them
when I wrote this, I was thinking a possible, when I seen that whole thing, a possible Corbin Ziggler angle spinning off of the whole Styles Ziggler. Styles wins the belt, I figured they might do a little program with Ziggler and Corbin.
As soon as I saw this happening, I was like, well, tonight's match is going to end in some fucking schmoz, and then
next week, Daniel
Bryan's going to come out and call a triple threat.
Dude, I thought the same thing, and that's what happened.
But that's good pro wrestling. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even though it was predictable, it's good pro wrestling, and I want to see it. Because I didn't necessarily want to fucking see Ziggler and AJ. I really didn't. It could be a great match. Ziggler can bump better than anybody in the fucking world, but I really didn't care to see it. Yeah, I really didn't care to see it.
It's AJ. It's AJ's time to shine.
So anyway, where'd we go from here?
From there, we went to The Miz versus Apollo Crews.
And this was another fairly quick match. Not bad. Maryse ended up getting on the apron. The ref caught her and kicked her out.
Yeah, what surprised me.
And then I thought, fuck it. I was like, damn, Apollo Crews about to win. He rolled him up and it was like 1-2 and fucking... Miz kicked out at 2 7/8. Like,
that's what I thought too.
I was like, damn, he was about to lose, but then he hit the mic check or whatever the fuck the move was called.
Apollo Crews controlled the whole match if you watched the whole match.
Skull crushing finale,
because
mic check is Ken Anderson.
Yeah, he got out of his one little move, flipped over his back, and hit him in the skull crushing finale and won it that way.
Mm. Not bad. SmackDown's fun to watch, Renee Young
got in the ring.
Okay, this was, and they left this on Hulu. So Renee got in the ring. She asked Miz about, you know, how he feels about his
obsession with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, his obsession with Dean Ambrose with the way he was acting last week. And he said, my obsession with Dean Ambrose? Why don't we talk about your obsession with Dean Ambrose? You're the one sleeping with him.
Yeah, and then she smacked
that him. Roast bomb of the year. The whole crowd gave that fucking
they were like, oh, a collective, you didn't.
Yeah, a collective gasp. And then she smacked him and then stormed off the opposite way. Ripping
her shit off.
She ripped her mic off and went back behind the timekeeper table and out the arena that way, not through like she was going to backstage to talk to anybody and be a character. She acted like she was like, fuck this job. Fuck you guys. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Get an angle going, maybe possibly putting.
Yeah, Renee I didn't Young watch talking. Dean Ambrose. I didn't watch Talking Smack this week.
That's what I've been thinking. I should have
actually watched Talking Smack before you got here, so I could see because she hosts that. I should have seen if she showed up on it or addressed it. I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't watch Talking Smack.
I didn't
Smack
talk
either this
smoking
week.
Back. Talk, I just talk, see, smoking
we're
tack.
We're already having our JBL box ourselves.
Smoking tack.
See, we can't do anything with JBL because funny. You see what happened.
Smoking tack, man. When you talk a lot, you're bound to fuck up. It is true. I mean. Sorry, JBL. I didn't mean
and
to
And then
bury
after
you.
That, we finally got to the big news of the night that Natalya finally came out and told Nikki
Yeah, this
that
whole segment was...
Stupid.
I liked the way it ended, though. Like,
I
lost interest, and I started looking at my phone and shit. Then all of a sudden,
I heard the word bitch, no, and you was like, what?
What? No,
don't lie. You heard...
I heard...
Because that's what I heard,
no,
and
I heard
looked
the
up
part,
finally.
No, I heard the part where she said... like you're uglier than my cats or some shit like that. What is she? I'm about to look up the quote.
I didn't exactly remember the quote because I was like, they're definitely
she
setting
said,
up Nikki.
Natalya said, Nikki, you have no charisma. My cat has more charisma than you. And that's when I perked up like her. I was like, what? And that's when she was like, you're a bitch and all this shit. But it was
that's
like, she was like,
way.
You might be beautiful on the outside and on the inside. Like, I was like, hold on, where's she going with this? But yeah, the whole thing was, I thought it was kind of funny the way Natalya was like, you do not talk about her that way. And then she was like, well, what about that time you told me about this and this and this? And then Natalya was like, well, I told you that in confidence. And it's like, oh, shit, bitch, you said all this shit. All snap, girl.
And you're like, when can I see the... conclusion
the
of
thing,
this transpire on the next week's Total Divas if they did yeah, it live.
The only thing that I don't like about it is how much they bring John Cena into it.
And he's on SmackDown.
But then he is on... I mean, we're watching SmackDown. But I'm just saying that, like, it's an...
But
like,
he's not even on yet.
I wish it didn't have to do with, like, women being... the side piece to a man. Like I wish it had a little more to do with just the woman and her
characteristics. It's about John Cena,
but
who's not even on SmackDown yet.
What helped though add to that effect, if you're going to bring John Cena up all the time, bring John Cena up all the time, play on the fact about the Total Diva storyline that John Cena will never marry her because he never wants to get married again. Play on that and be like, oh, you're a bitch, blah blah blah, blah. That's why John will never marry you. Mic drop. Natalya out. If you're going to talk about John all the time, use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, where do we go from here? The women are being chatty, I guess.
Yeah.
Or
then
catty.
That's when we went backstage with Daniel Bryan, Alexa Bliss, and pretty much...
This was funny. She was like still nursing injury on, I want to say, the opposite leg from
this
last
week. Yeah, it was.
And
I was dying laughing.
She's like, how are you going to punish Becky? And Dana Bryan's like, oh, I will punish her by giving her a title shot next week. She's like, fuck that. And she's like, or Dana Bryan's like, and you got a match tonight. She's like, I won't do a match tonight. I'm injured. He said, if you won't do a match, because I just talked to the doctors, you're medically cleared, your injury's fake. If you don't do the match, then you immediately forfeit the title. So she's got a match tonight.
And she storms off, and he's like, your leg looks fine.
Yeah, your leg looks pretty good now.
And then after that was Renee Young's man.
Dean Ambrose.
Versus Luke Harper.
Yeah, I didn't really pay too much attention during this match. It was on. It was like background noise to me. I grabbed my phone and started looking at the internet
match,
and stuff, Facebook.
Special. Ambrose wins.
Checking my notifications and stuff.
After the match, it was pretty much Bray and Randy fucking up Dean Ambrose.
They came out, and yeah, I remember hearing their music.
And then The Miz comes out right afterwards, and then his skull-crushing finale on Ambrose, which is setting up a whole Miz-Ambrose angle,
which is already where they were going anyway.
Yeah, anyways, but this just solidifies. Yeah, this just solidifies. They're definitely going to go Miz Ambrose angle.
That's why, like, the rumor is that Miz got heat for whatever the sleeping with Dean Ambrose line, but at the same time, I think that line was fed to him. I don't believe that there's any heat up because they want Miz to attack in that personal. It's the same way they're talking about the Miz's pipe bomb from Talking Smack, his breakout promo. How much of it actually was scripted? Like, how much of that was actually planned? When people all thought, like, "Oh God, Miz has gone crazy. This is real." So that's it. Just fits into what they're doing with the Miz.
It's his whole little.
And then they put a little shine on it. Like, was it real? Was it not real? And
keep people guessing to come back to watch more of it. Then after that, we had Alexa Bliss versus Lucha Dora.
I love this,
And dude, the first thing I wrote down...
Miss
no,
Mascaris.
No joke, just look at my notes for this.
Okay.
This is how I watch it,
where
right?
Is it at?
When it comes down, it's over
right here. Alexa Bliss
versus
Becky Lynch question mark.
Instantly, because I write down who they're wrestling.
And then you wrote, and then a little later you wrote, called it. Probably after she was, you know, after she did the fucking.
Yeah, because I instantly.
What's her finish called?
The
something.
Disarmor?
Disarmor.
No. Yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, it's Becky Lynch for sure. Called
but
it.
I liked it. I was like, Miss Mascaris or whatever the fuck.
Miss Mascaris.
Instead of like Mil Mascaris.
Yeah. Luchadora is what they kept calling her.
Yeah, yeah, but JBL was calling her. He was calling her like Miss Mascaris or something like that.
I was too busy trying to figure out if it was Becky Lynch, but what actually when I wrote
I liked Becky
it,
Lynch's little
but what
luchador moves.
But when I said called it was when she was on the ropes at the bottom and she screamed out like, oh, and it sounded just like
her.
And you're like,
Irish accent.
And you're like, oh, for sure, Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who it is.
I thought
like,
it was fun. This was pro wrestling.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's the same people who are putting together both shows, but it's like almost like fucking Raw.
They care about one and not the other?
Well, no, it's like that Raw is specifically written like television wrestling, Saturday Night Live, sketch to week, progression, and SmackDown is literally written like
pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Well, it's written like old-fashioned wrestling. Like, there's old, like, dude, putting the girl in a phony luchador thing and her being luchadora debuting, she, like, that is fucking Crockett 1986 NWA shit. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's just good.
Traditional wrestling.
It's fucking 1978 big time wrestling with the Sheik shit. Like, that's just old school fucking pro wrestling. It's
old school booking.
And it's done today and it still works. So, like, and that's the.
Work.
It really is continually a difference between SmackDown and Raw. And that's why, when week to week, me and you like SmackDown better. It's.
This week, SmackDown was better than Raw
because
once again,
Raw,
but I did like
Raw.
Raw's
written. Raw has good stuff and it has great fucking wrestling, but it's definitely written like fucking Saturday Night Live. It still is.
For sure.
It's a tired ass fucking thing. SmackDown, they at least trying to break out a little bit from it, and it's fun. They're going back to the old school. It feels like 1995 Monday Night Raw. You can beat on 1995 wrestling or whatever as much as you want, but it feels like that's
you're,
I feel
that's
like I'm back
getting.
In 96 or 97 or any of that shit.
And
so
then,
anyway,
then after that we got Mojo Rawley versus Kurt Hawkins.
Well, did you have Mojo Rawley in the back with Ryan Felipe first? Fuck is Ryan Felipe?
Some guy on their TV show. On
I mean,
USA.
I know he's not Mark Wahlberg because they said that in on the show that he's not
he's
Mark Wahlberg.
The character that Mark Wahlberg
played from the movie
the
Shooter
movie, I guess,
or something.
Or some
okay,
I don't know. I haven't.
So
really
it's just a USA plug, basically. And,
pretty much.
And instead of putting it with the main angle to make USA happy, they fucking put it with the jobbers, Chad Hawkins.
Yeah.
And and fucking Mojo Rawley. But Mojo looked good. Mojo's finish when he hits that fucking finish, dude. We talked about it. We've been talking about it for the past couple weeks. His like run into the corner fucking forearm.
Yeah, brutal.
Oof. It hit.
I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah, I feel bad for everybody who takes that shit because he comes with a head of steam. And we were talking about how like Zack Ryder does the whole like don't get so hype, man. Like,
dude, you know what
anyway,
cracks me
funny.
Up? His stinger splash looks so pussy is
mm-hmm.
pussy.
Pussy.
See here we go. JBL
over there.
They look like a fucking pussy fucking running from corner hitting a fucking splash. But when he hits the forearm, it's a whole different like approach to it. It's like I'm taking your head off. Brutal.
So Mojo Rawley got the win.
Of course, I think,
not to be an asshole, but the Zack Ryder injury is probably the best thing that could happen for Mojo Rawley. Maybe shouldn't have happened now. Maybe it could have happened a little more down the road. But they're gonna put money behind Mojo Rawley. They're gonna promote him. They're gonna give him
TV
time.
He's gonna
get
the push more than Ryder is because
he's
already been
there.
He's
gonna get the TV time. He's gonna get the shine. There's been a lot of shine going around today. But Mojo Rawley,
just giving the shine to everyone.
Yeah, he's now people.
I hope
know,
you're not getting the shining.
People know who he is because of the Hype Bros connection. Now
yeah.
They got a little introduction of him, and now he's gonna fucking shine. He really is. I'm not
big into him except for a couple of movies he did.
Yeah, I was about to say, just,
solid. Like,
I'd give him
ouch.
Some time. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, he needs to break away from the whole football gimmick of moves.
So, wait, where'd we go from here?
After there, we went to Ellsworth backstage.
This was funny. He is covered in athletic tape and on crutches. He had a giant walking boot.
He
looked like a dead man.
Yeah, and homegirl came in, I think, and escorted
Carmella.
Him.
Carmella.
Which was weird. You're
Carmella's
like, yeah,
got
Carmella.
A thing for the no chin, yeah. She wants some no chin.
I kind of understand no chin doesn't get in the way down there. It's just all tongue. So,
yeah. If you don't want that beard rubbing on your booty hole, you fucking get James Ellsworth with no chin because his fucking...
Because that ain't booty.
Yeah, his fucking... His chin will stay off the booty, basically. Yeah. Like, your mouth can be on the vagina without your chin in the booty.
So maybe it's just
sometimes
a fetish.
Sometimes beard hair tickles booty holes, I want to say.
Maybe that's just a fetish.
Some girls like it, though.
Some girls like no chin.
And she does. So Carmella likes no chins. Where do we go from here? Carmella is now off the Nikki Bella thing. She's got a new thing going on with James Ellsworth. Hopefully.
For your sake, hopefully. You're like, me next?
Yeah. I was about to say, if I'm better looking than Ellsworth.
You're like, interns.
I got
listen,
a chin.
Me, yeah. I got a chin.
Interns from WWE, book me. What do we get? The main event after this?
The main event. Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin for the number one contender match.
Good
much.
Match. Dolph Ziggler is the second coming of Kurt Hennig. He makes everybody look better than anybody else look.
Oh, for sure.
If that makes sense.
He's another Ric Flair.
Like, there's nobody
he can
else
put
in
someone over
yeah,
better
yeah, yeah,
than
yeah.
anyone.
Ric Flair, Kurt Hennig, just like that. He can. Nobody's gonna look better taking bumps from Baron Corbin than fucking Dolph Ziggler.
The
match looked good and the match
amazing.
Was fun.
AJ Styles had me dying on commentary because every time Baron Corbin was fucking up Ziggler, the whole commentating crew kept going, especially David Otunga kept going.
Getting
that
on
could
him.
That could be you, AJ. And he's like not answering, staying away from it, and kept going, let's go, Ziggler. Like, getting all excited. Like, he would rather wrestle Ziggler than Baron Corbin.
Yeah, and they were like, why are you're cheering for Ziggler more? And he's like, can't I just watch wrestling? I'm still a fan of wrestling. Can't I just watch and enjoy it?
That's what I was going to come up with. Dude, that shit had me dying.
Yeah. But then he ended up beating the hell out of both of them with the steel
chairs. Yeah.
He was whacking the fuck out of them.
Fuck it. Well, I don't blame him after fucking Corbin brutally assaults Ziggler on the outside and then just tosses him into fucking...
Tosses him into AJ.
AJ on purpose.
So,
like, I'll take both of you bitches
off. Yeah, so AJ became a chair-swinging freak. And then that's when Daniel Bryan came out and he flubbed up his lines. I don't remember what he was trying to say, but he tells him that, okay, it's going to be you guys in a triple threat match for the WWE title
next week
on
to
SmackDown.
Close it out. Which they loaded up the SmackDown card to end the year off.
Yeah, I was about to say they're...
Nothing but title matches.
Yeah, but none of them are real serious ones. You know what I mean?
Nothing special.
I'm
just shocked they're doing that.
They're still kind of in lame duck season before they push real hard for Rumble.
Yeah.
Raw, on the other hand, though, is already... They've got a lot of their stuff set up for Rumble already now. So what the fuck are they going to do?
Like two participants?
Well, no.
Lesnar.
I mean Jericho in the shark cage.
Oh, Jericho shark cage,
You know, they've already... I don't know what the fuck Seth Rollins is doing because they've already dumped him from Jericho. They did one match and they're done now. Because Jericho's going to be in a shark cage. So, I mean, I guess they'll have to figure that out.
I thought Seth Rollins was still going to wrestle Jericho.
Well, they wrestled at Roadblock.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to wrestle again.
I'm not sure yet. I know Jericho's going to be in the shark cage.
Yeah, that's all I know for right now, officially.
So, let's get... What's your SmackDown, yay or nay? Hit or miss, good or bad?
Better than Raw this week.
I think so. They were both kind of like... They were all right. Lazy Sunday lay on the couch programming, even though I obviously fell asleep in the middle of Raw because I don't remember half of that shit. But SmackDown... I just like SmackDown. It's a better wrestling show. It really is. It's a better wrestling show. Even like you can say what you want about the little fucking Natalya girly bullshit, but it's still like it was still better wrestling stuff. You know what I mean? It's still better wrestling storylines than the than sensitivity training. Three segment fucking bullshit.
Sensitivity training, you know? And Bailey and Charlotte couldn't stack up alone to what they had on SmackDown. The AJ Styles, Ellsworth, The Miz, and the Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin at the end. Like that, you could not stack up on the 3 hours on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was way better than any match they had on Raw besides the Charlotte and Bailey match. That was on Raw.
Yeah.
SmackDown just had better matches every week.
Yeah. I even think storyline-wise, even if the storylines are dumb and La Luchadora and shit, like, that's still funner and better to watch than a lot of the shit on Raw.
Like, if Raw will have one good match, SmackDown will have three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Raw will have, like, two or three good matches, the whole SmackDown.
Yeah, or Raw will have a funny thing with Mick Foley. But SmackDown at least fucking with their GM segments at least have purpose and explain them. Except for when Shane went to go watch a match that he didn't watch.
Raw normally has one funny segment or that preludes through the entire show, one big segment,
mm-hmm.
and one good match. While SmackDown will give you a couple decent segments, but two to three really good matches.
Yeah, it's wrestling. So what's the match of the week this week, Derek?
I was actually going to go back to the Halloween Havoc 97.
1997. The number.
And since we're going to Flabby Tits, we'll go to the Ric Flair-Kurt Hennig match.
Okay, and this would have been... Kurt Hennig had probably just came to
he's in WCW. The NWO. Then.
Okay,
he's
yeah.
already been he in He would have
just came by like the
it's,
summer.
It's about a month, 2 months, because he did the whole I'm with the Horsemen deal.
Because War Games is when, War Games was the big thing when he turned and became the NWO.
Yeah, so it's been about 2 months now.
Which would have been, I think War Games would have been Fall Brawl, so that's like September. So yeah, he probably came in late August.
So it was really entertaining match. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I wish, because I'd never seen it, and I was like, this actually one of the matches I didn't go skip.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of matches on that card that I was like,
Those two were good friends, too. Because Perfect was his manager in WWF.
Dude, there was a couple times where you could see them ribbing each other in the match. Legit, just having a good time.
Yeah.
Just ribbing each other.
That's why there's a lot some people didn't like. Bruce Pritchard, his podcast, their episode this week was just all about Mr. Perfect. So they had just like told the history of what they know, what Bruce Pritchard's involvement with, you know, because Bruce Pritchard's, you know, in WWF creative the whole time and stuff. So, but I don't remember where I was going with this. Oh,
he didn't like something about Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect, obviously.
Oh, no. Some people didn't like working with him because he would fuck around in matches almost too much. Like, he made some guys look absolutely amazing, and that's why these people loved working with him. Like, even Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and all those guys loved working with Mr. Perfect because he made shit look amazing. But then at the same time, other guys hated it because he would rib them. Like Lex Luger, he would steal the tassels off of his pants and tights when they'd be wrestling with them and shit like that. And just funny shit like that. I thought that was cool stuff.
A couple of things you could see in the match, them wrestling.
So Halloween Havoc 1997, Kurt Hennig versus Ric Flair.
And it's probably the best match on the card.
Your role model asked me why we don't review his matches when we do our podcast about FCWF, and I said because, well, I didn't say anything, actually. I'm not going to lie and say I said something. Before I could
you don't want a knee taken out?
Yeah, I was about to say. I didn't say anything because...
I thought we reviewed the Ways match.
We did, but we didn't like talk about the ending or nothing when... Rick started bleeding, but got it wiped up before the ref could see.
Oh, he said we should start talking about his match a little more.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the ending. And I told him I had already told him I conveniently left that part out because, you know, I'm not going to talk about the way cheating or anything like that because I'm trying to keep my kneecaps.
That's what you told him?
He also asked me if the next time he comes over, if he could chop me. And I told him, I was like, oh, man, we got a whole lifetime for chops. We can do the chops some other time. We got a whole lifetime for that. Josie's like, sounds like somebody's scared. I was like, nah.
You won't even let me.
We do it down
chops.
The road. We do it down the road. I told him. Yeah, I was like, I got this new intern guy. His name's Andrew. You can chop him. And yeah,
Andrew,
so,
are you listening?
So yeah, it's got the run into role model came into my work yesterday, but yeah. So he asked me why we don't review his matches enough. I just told him, I said, I don't know, so I guess sometimes we just start moving along. But I should have just said, I'm trying to save my kneecap, so I just try to as lightly talk about your shit as possible.
Because I want my kneecaps.
I want my kneecaps. My knees are already feeling a little weak, man, so I don't know.
They've already taken out a couple, so.
So anyway, Lousy Wrestling Podcast, not a bad week of wrestling. It's Christmas today. We didn't even talk about that. Oh, yeah, we did. We said what we got. So, yeah, awesome Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. We're going to go into the new year. Next week. Next week will be
Sunday.
Yeah, it'll
be.
Are
we doing a podcast Sunday?
Yeah, it'll be what? New Year's Day next week. So, yeah, we'll be here. We'll be here and do it. I have to work that night, so we'll be doing it late. But, yeah. And Zagiri, and we're motherfucking out. Lousy Wrestling Podcast 23.
What are you going to say when Rick is here? And
he's coming.
A chop. And we're out.
Rick is,
because I want to hear the chop.
Rick's coming for the main show on February 7th. I believe right before the Civil War event. Yeah, they're doing. So I asked Paul to get Rick for the main show before that to promote that. And so hopefully I'll have him. Yeah, a chop, and we're out to fucking Slim Turn. Andrew is the hope, because I ain't taking no chop.
You're taking a chop.
My little pigeon chest, he'll break my sternum. So yeah, let's get out of here. Nenzagiri, and we're out. No chops.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.